As I was, you know, Corey's been, we've really been on love, on love, love, love. And last week Corey said, you know, how, talked about us, how we're to respond to our enemies. And I really got to thinking about a lot of that. And, let me just go to my notes. Maybe that'll be it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. We know this. I mean, most of us know this chapter. The commentary of my Bible, I want to read this. On 1 Corinthians 13, it says, how love behaves. And I'll be honest, there's some days that that's a real challenge for me to behave the way it's written in here. You know, and I know most of y'all probably don't have that issue, but it happens, you know. Right, Roger? All the Rogers? You know, we got lots of Rogers. It says here, what does it take to be a follower of Christ? Is it faith? Is it serving others? Effective ministry? You'd think so, but those things alone aren't sufficient. Love is the foundation. Love is the key. Love is the glue. Love is the requirement. Why is love so vital? Because its presence or absence is obvious. A lot of times just the look on our face will let you know whether it was love or contempt. Y'all never... we're going to have to do a cheerleading exercise. And because God's love is so distinct from anything we people have ever come up with, it truly does meet needs. Read the description of love in verses 4 through 8. Nobody can do that. Let's read this. Verse 4 through 8 in 1 Corinthians 13. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And this is my favorite, verse 8. Love never fails. It takes some discipline on our part to get to the point where, and revelation knowledge from the Holy Ghost, that love never fails. It's, you know, right there at the end, it says, nobody can do that. You might have a few of those descriptions on a really good day, but day in and day out, through thick and thin, in the storms and valleys of just normal everyday life, it's hard for us, we can't live like this. Not on your own, but we need God's Spirit. That's the key. Only God has the power to enable you and me to love like that and to choose to love like that. He gives both through His Spirit. And when His Spirit is in us, we can love like that. We really can. When we love when we are living our lives in God, when He is our power source, and all the other stuff will fall into place. Your faith, service, and ministry will be effective and complete only if it flows from the love of God. Now, I'm going to give some things. I'm like, oh, gee, Lord. Trying to put that into practice in my life. Okay? I'm just going to share some examples with you. We may have a ho-ho-hee-hee service before this is over with. Because some of the things that the Lord, like Brian, the Lord's had me pray for some specific people that I don't like. Okay, I'll just put that out there up front. I don't think very highly of them. And I recognize, you know, one of them would be a governor in the United States that I won't mention his name, but he's in that really long state out there on the West Coast. And I'm like, and the Lord said, you need to pray for him. And I'm like, who? I don't like him. He said, I know you don't like him. You make that pretty clear sometimes. I told him out there when we went to California and preached, I said, that governor of y'all's, I said, he's a wimp. And but the Lord said, you see, Russ, he said, I created him but I knew him before I formed him in his mother's womb. And I really had a destiny for him the same way that I have a destiny for each one of us sitting here. He said, now just because, you know, he said, you don't always fulfill the destiny that I've called you into. Some days you're a little obnoxious and rude. It's not a picture of the first four verses of 4 through 8 of 1 Corinthians 13. I said, but yeah, Lord, like when he opens his mouth, it's like the devil himself speaking. He said, some days you sound the same way. Let's just get real with ourselves here. I mean, let's just think about it a minute. Because you see, if love never fails, we've got to cultivate that love walk and take on and become a partaker of the very nature of God. God is love. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Even for Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and several others out there that but on the way to church, I was being really quiet this morning. I'm thinking about some of this, and I'm like, Lord, when they open their mouths, it's like a demon speaking. And sometimes it is. Not just them. People we encounter people every day. You and I encounter people, probably as many of y'all, because a lot of times I'm not out in the public a lot of times during the week. But if we're in a job to where we deal with people, I promise you, people are opening their mouths and you think in our flesh, when we're walking in the flesh and not by the Spirit, we're thinking, well, that's sorry so-and-so. He didn't have no right to say that. I can't believe what came out of his mouth. And the Lord began to impress upon me. He said, you know, part of when we are walking in the Spirit and something comes out of somebody's mouth that really just aggravates us. He said, a bit of that, this was the way I heard it this morning. A bit of that is, he said, it pricks the spirit man in you, and you realize your spirit man is trying to tell you, you need to pray for them. They don't know me. Maybe it's someone that does know and just been deceived, and maybe there's something going on in their life that we need to help them get rid of so that they can walk back into the fullness that we just declared over ourselves, so we might comprehend the love of God so that we walk in the fullness that He has for each one of us. And so as I've meditated on those things this week after reading a lot of that, the Lord said, you know, in order for them, there's actually people. I'm using the political arena because y'all know me. That's where I'm at. And listen, guys, for y'all's first time here, sometimes I get a little bit rash and hard on some of them guys. And I don't mean it personally, because I think it's the church's fault that we as a church haven't stood up and occupied as Jesus told us to before He came, so that we didn't have those kind of people occupying positions of government in our nation. And if we do our part, we're going to get rid of them. Because God's going to help us, but we got to be willing and obedient to do our part. Vote, support, do things for godly men and women that He's appointed and anointed to be in those offices. But there are some of them that actually just, you know, it's so neat to walk in our calling, to walk in the lane that God's called us to be, because that's where we're going to bear the most fruit. You heard Corey say, we're going to grow where we're planted. Well, it's where God's planted us to be, to fulfill the destiny as His own workmanship, recreated for specific works that God ordained for us to walk in. I believe there's people in those positions that have been ordained to walk there, but they have been deceived by the enemy. And maybe they've got things in their past, maybe back from generations that were part of corrupt greed and selfishness and envy and jealousy and strife that entered into where they become so self-centered. Satan was in the garden. He was so self-centered. That's why he got cast out of heaven. He was an angel of light that got cast out. And then he wants to take as many down with him as he can. And there's some people that are so susceptible to that It's because of selfishness. We must so guard our own hearts that's why, give me Jesus. When I walk in love, when I realize that if I will love as God loves, so I'm like, Lord, how do I go about some of that? Because, you know, I see them and like me and Brian, our flesh wants to rise up. And he said, we don't always want you to quote to us 2 Corinthians 10, where it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, because we'd like to pull out some carnal weapons. But go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Y'all got to get going here. Y'all are like, This is exciting. This to me gets very exciting. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm thinking that's right. I have it wrote down here. I just need to go back to my notes. 10:3, right, okay. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, as we bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and we punish all disobedience as our obedience is fulfilled. You know, Jackie Stevenson texts me. I don't know if any of y'all in here are on any Jackie's deals, but he texts me and lets me know. Or he posed a question this week, you know, about the power. Go to Ephesians. Hold your place right there and go to Ephesians. Back over there to Ephesians chapter 6. I have another Bible, y'all, that's got everything underlined, and then I have to go. Okay, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Let's go right there for a minute. He said, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, gird your waist with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, keep your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, take the shield of faith with which we're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Therefore, carnal weapons won't work against spiritual wickedness in high places. We get this picture. We relate it all in from the fleshly standpoint, of a carnal standpoint of, well, that person. And that person is being deceived, occupied, possessed, or influenced by a principality or power of darkness. And when we start to realize that, then what we're doing is that's when we can start becoming a partaker of God's own nature, to where we start walking in the love of God. We see past the principalities and powers and the demonic influence, and we start seeing that person as a child that God created before He formed them in their mother's womb with a purpose and a destiny. And I'm like, it's hard to picture that. It's hard to grasp that when someone opens their mouth and cusses you. We're going to have to hee or something. We got to do something. Y'all are like, just like really. When we get revelation knowledge of what we prayed for at the beginning, for God to open up our eyes of understanding to see His love, how much He loves each one of us, we begin to realize how much He loved those around us, those that are in our area of influence, and those that we're doing business with. Because we're anointed and appointed for such a time as this to walk in that, to fulfill that destiny. Because as Cleve and AJ said, we don't want a half-filled heaven, we want a full heaven. God wants it full. And he told us to occupy. He said, Jesus told us in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, go into all the world and make disciples of all men, teaching them and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. And when we get to, when we're thinking, well, they just need to apply, you know, they need to apply some themselves. Yes, they do. But human nature, I'm going to tell you what, it's getting lazier and lazier. I'm talking to my neighbor yesterday, and me and Kathy were, you know, I used to not have neighbors when we were on the ranch, and now that we're in town, closer to, well, not right in town, but neighbors right there. And they're great neighbors, and Colby and I, we were talking, and we're just visiting. And he said, you know, people today, he said, they're just our youth. He said, they're not. We got to get back to teaching them things. He said, his dad told, they bought their son, he's 16, they got him a car. And they're going to go out there and they need to change the battery, Roger. And so he tells the son, we're going to go out there and put a new battery in your car. And so the kid goes back in the room and gets two AA-sized batteries and brings with him. Guys, we're actually cultivating that in our culture and our nature because we're not fulfilling the destiny as parents and being all that God called us to be. We got a people that are so dependent on someone else, they can't even think for themselves. And we, the church, we've got to, you know, Jesus said, you go and occupy, you do. He said, you bring all the tithes into the storehouse. You go out into the world and preach the gospel. You go. He said, if you'll go. Well, in Acts, let's go to Acts chapter 5. I don't know if that's in the notes, but Acts chapter 5. Let's see. It's in my other Bible. It's all underlined, and it's easy to find really fast. Verse 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. We're the servants. And God, he's saying, I'm going to grant you. I'm asked the Lord to grant us with all boldness that we may speak the Word of God. We got to first know the Word of God to be able to speak the Word of God. That's where give me Jesus comes in. When I get up in the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus. Let me spend some time with you so I know His heart for the day, for the things and places He's going to send me. And He said, I'm going to grant you all boldness to speak my Word. And as you do, I'll confirm it with signs and wonders following. I'm thinking about that too on the way to church this morning. You know, would y'all agree with me that most of the time when I'm up here, I speak boldly? Sometimes I know it's arrogantly. But most of it's boldly. And the Lord said, you know what? Every time you, and Corey does, and Howdy does, and Ricky does, AJ and Cleve, boldly this morning, boldly proclaim the gospel, boldly. Well, that says right there that if we boldly proclaim the gospel, the Lord will stretch out His hand to heal, and signs and wonders will be done through the name of His holy servant Jesus. Do you know every service that you and I have sat in under someone ministering and they spoke the word boldly, that God stretched out His hand and confirmed that word with signs and wonders, and some of us turned them down and didn't take them. Every service that we've sit in where someone boldly speaks the word, we need to get excited and say, yeah, because the word of God is life and health and healing to all our flesh. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. He said, that word is life and health and healing to all your flesh. So when someone speaks the word boldly, take it. You know, three weeks ago when I'm here, I said, you know, we got to settle it. We got to settle it in our own spirits. We got to get it fully persuaded. Romans chapter 4, we need to be fully persuaded that what God's promised, what the Word says, is ours. He's able to perform. It's ours. He said, settle it. Take it. When someone speaks the word boldly, if you and me speak the word boldly to ourselves, God stretches out His hand on our behalf. We got to quit being so quiet. We got to get excited about who we are in Christ, as we were saying this morning. You know, the love of God's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's there. We suppress it so much out of, oh, a little intimidation. What's somebody going to think? You know, and it's like, who cares what they think? Like Corey said, his daddy told him back there when he went through his little deal with his girlfriend a long time ago. And he said, you need to give a no give up attitude. Not that we don't care what's going on. We need to not care what other people think. Is that all right? You know, they don't like me? Well, it's their loss. I'm a child of the Most High God. If what I said just ruffled their feathers needed to be ruffled. Sometimes my feathers need to be ruffled. Kathy, she does a good job sometimes too. If I'm not listening to the Lord, AJ, sometimes he uses Kathy to remind me of what he was trying to get through to me. That don't ever happen at y'all's house, does it? It's just, you know, we need to relax. We need, you know, laughter's good medicine. A joyful heart, it brings about a cheerful countenance, and a broken spirit dries the bones. We need to get excited because we have an answer. We have the answer, not an answer. We have the answer for people that are going through things in their life that God never intended for them to go through. And he said, we need to get our eyes off of ourselves and on to the love of God. For the love of God's been shed abroad in our hearts, and he wants us to share that love. And so I've discovered over the last several months, it's a progression. Judy, God's really good about not putting too much on me than I can handle mentally at the time. He said, you need some of this gradually, because if I overwhelm you with it, you're liable to spit the bit and run the other direction. And so I want you to think about these things when you're going through something that's uncomfortable, but you can feel the presence. You know God's like directed my steps. I'm like, Kathy reminds me of this a lot, y'all. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And so you believe God, Russ, and he accounts that unto you for righteousness. So your steps are being ordered of him because the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And therefore, you're in the right place at the right time. I thought, well, I'll be right here right now. We need to get off of, I don't want to be here right now. Lord, what would you have me to do while I'm here? That's walking in the love of God. That's being, living out those verses 4 through 8 of 1 Corinthians 13. Because when we submit to that, God will even make our mistakes to prosper. He sets the captives free, and he sets other captives free through me and you by being willing and obedient to be and go where he'd have us to go. He wants us to have, he gives us perfect knowledge of every situation and circumstance we come up against. When we're staying in His presence, when we're seeking His will, when we're saying, Lord, where would you have me to be today? What would you have me to do? And He wants us to be in the right place at the right time, saying what we need to say, when we need to say it, and to shut up when we need to shut up. He wants us to be a blessing to those around us. He came so that we might, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so when I tend to get caught up in my own little agenda, because I don't like things interrupting my plans, and maybe I didn't always ask God if that was the plan for the day, and then I get frustrated and confused, and it's like, if you'd have listened to me this morning, Jan, he's saying, Rusty, if you just would have listened to me this morning, you would be right where I need you to be. You could have escaped this situation or circumstance. You think back to 9/11, all the testimonies of the people, born-again believers that were told not to go to work that day. God took them another route and saved their lives. Being tuned in to the Holy Spirit. It's of the utmost importance. I believe where we're going today, in the time that we're in, the last of the last days, with what's going on in Israel, and I encourage you, be praying for Israel every day. Psalms 83, you can pray that every day for Israel and the United States. But with where we're going, especially business, this person, wherever we're going, we need to know and hear the voice of the Lord. We do not need to be put to confusion. We need to have, it tells us that we have the mind of Christ and we can hold the thoughts, intents, and purposes of His heart. But that's cultivating that relationship. That's spending time in the Word, because the Word of God is life and health and healing to all our flesh. The Word of God is instruction. And when I take that and I apply it to my life, and I've learned to see that love never fails. God loved me so much, He gave me everything that pertains. And look at 2 Peter. Go to 2 Peter. It's chapter 1. Let's start. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Is there any corruption in the world we live in? How do we escape it? By receiving, spending time with Jesus, so our steps are truly ordered of the Lord and we're in the right place at the right time. 2 Corinthians, I'm going to breeze through some scriptures here that I just want to get out to you. But 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6 says, though we walk in the flesh or we deal with the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. In other words, the weapons of our warfare, again, are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Romans 8, 5 and 6 talks about responding fleshly or responding according to the Spirit. You know, when we start walking in love, we're going to respond according to the Spirit. Matthew 4, 4, we're to be imitators of Jesus. He spoke the word, man shall not live by bread. This was when the devil tempted Jesus, took Him in the wilderness and tempted Him. And then the first thing, Jesus' first response after He come down, He's hungry and He's thirsty and He's been fasting for 40 days. And the devil brings Him a temptation and He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hebrews 4:12. Go to Hebrews 4:12. You there? Amen? For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the very division of our soul and spirit, of our joints and marrow, and discerns the very thoughts and intents of our heart. The Word of God is living and powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. If Jesus had to say, it is written, the Lord reminded me the other day, He said, you quote the Word a lot, there's specific situations you need to say, it is written. And that authority that we've been given, if you read Ephesians chapter 1, and we go down through there, Billy gave us the book last year at the deal, talk about the authority of the believer. We need to understand that as the part of our authority is to speak the Word. And so we take that Word in love and we say, it is written, and then the Scripture that fits the situation or circumstance. It's written that by the stripes of Jesus I've been healed and made whole. It's written that God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It's written that God has given me everything that pertains unto life and godliness. Go to Psalms 91. You know, being a doer of the Word of God and not a hearer only. You know, Psalms 91. And let me find. find which particular verse. Verse 11. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. So when we, you know, another, when we're going into things, as we get up of the morning, like Kathy and I, when we get in the car, you know, Corey's mentioned this a lot. When we go somewhere, guys, we need to say, it is written that the angels of the Lord are encamped around about me to keep me in all my ways. As I put my kids on the bus, as we put kids on the bus, for those that have kids on the bus, going to school, it's written that the angels protect my kids. They're encamped around about my children to keep them in all their ways. No evil shall befall them, and neither shall any plague come near them today in any form or fashion. We need to, it's just a way of life that we've got to cultivate, that way of life to where we're dependent on the Word of God, because the Word of God is life and health and healing to all our flesh. And we understand, God gave us that because He loved us. And He said, I want you to demonstrate that love to others. We see people walking in things that are stealing their joy and their health and their, you know, and you know, we need, if we're tuned in, if we're hearing the voice of the Lord, if we're spending time, give me Jesus. When I get up in the morning, I spend time with Him, we recognize those things. So, as I've been going just trying to put more of this into practice, I'm trying to be more diligent about the things that the Lord showed me, these things of being a sure enough doer of the Word ever since. That love begins to grow. And whenever we start, especially the prayer thing for someone like Gavin Newsom, I'll go ahead and say his name. You know, his mother-in-law, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer. Let me tell you what happens. And I learned this from Chip Brim in a message that he shared. But then God just really began to emphasize. He said, when you begin to pray for them, for their salvation, He said, whether or not you like them, He said, you may not like them right now, but He said, I created them to fill a destiny too. And He says, you begin to pray for those, as Corey said last week, to pray for our enemies, to pray for those that spitefully use us, according to the Word. When we begin to pray for them, the Holy Spirit, angels hearken unto the Word of God. And those people actually have angels that are sitting on the sidelines because they're not, you know, I wonder how many, just a thought, just come to me. How many angels are sitting on benches in heaven because the people they're assigned to ain't got born again yet? How many angels are sitting on the sidelines because me and you, they're like, I wish you'd just speak the Word, because look at Psalms 103. Just turn over a couple pages. Psalms 103. Right there at the end. Verse 20. Bless the Lord, you His angels who excel in strength, who do His Word. They heed the voice of the Word of God. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you ministers of His who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Can you think about that? I've never thought about that, Howdy. How many angels are sitting on benches in heaven wanting to get in the game? And we got believers everywhere that won't speak the Word. They say, well, it just tickles me to death. And that angel said, I can't do anything about to stop you from dying unless you speak the Word of God. Unless you speak the Word, where Jesus said, my Word's life and health and healing to all your flesh. 1 Peter 2:24, you know, His Word, Jesus said, by the stripes of Jesus, we've been healed and made whole. That Word flows through our veins. When we say that, they're up off the bench and they go to work. It is written that by the stripes of Jesus, I've been healed and made whole. It's written by the Word of God that He's given me everything that pertains unto life and God. So we have got to be diligent about it. And we think, we get so caught up in our own agendas, but the Lord just showed me, He said, as you pursue this, as you think about these things, as you begin to pray for others that have spitefully used you, that you think are demonically influenced or demonically possessed, you give me permission to move on their behalf. You are causing angels to begin to, God begin, He just orchestrates things so that they're coming across people that speak something into their lives. Now, I know y'all I shared about Harriet Tubman when she was a slave and how she prayed for her master. This is a really cool story in a book called 100 Bible Verses That Made America. And Harriet Tubman prayed that her master was extremely mean. For those that haven't heard it, he abused her severely. You know, and she saved so many people. She was a godly, praying young lady. And she prayed for her master that God would change his heart and open his eyes and he'd get saved. And she prayed for several, it sounded like several months. I don't know exactly how long. But then finally nothing's happened. He ain't changed. And she said, God, if you ain't going to change him, kill him. And in a couple days, master's dead. Now, I'm not praying it that way. But I'm asking, Lord, if you're not going to change their heart, if they're not going to yield to you, Father, take them out of the way. Because they are holding back your purposes on this earth. They're holding people in bondage that you don't want to be in bondage. Because they're not yielding as governing leaders the way they're supposed to. And Father, we the church, we're going to do 2 Corinthians 7. We're going to humble ourselves under your mighty hand. We're going to repent. And Father, we're asking you to come and to heal our land, Father, because we're going to be willing and obedient. We're going to obey and serve you. Walking, love never fails. But prayer, praying for our enemies, praying for those that spitefully use us, it's everything. It's learning that the fight for us, angels fight for us. They keep us. And they are ordered to respond and carry out the very word of God. And we have those ministering spirits and angels that are assigned to us. And we need to give them something to do. Because it's like some of the kids today. They don't have enough to do. And they need more to do. But our angels, they're saying, just speak the word. If you'll speak the word and you walk in love, and you speak it in love. And now, Brian, I got to tell you, the first few times I began to pray for him, it was really hard. But you know what? It's like God began to open my eyes to things that, you know, every person walking this earth, God knew them before he formed them in their mother's womb. That almost brings tears to your eyes sometimes when you're sitting down meditating because people are truly being robbed of their destiny. We really don't want anyone close to us to be robbed of their destiny. But we don't think much about it when it's someone out there that's, you know, y'all can think of a lot of them out there. But he told Chip, when Chip went through a deal he went through and the Lord, his mom told him to pray for him. He said, I do not want to pray for him. I want to kill him. And she said, I understand. So he said, I said, okay. So he prayed, Lord, bless them so much their house falls in on them. And he said, I know that doesn't sound scriptural, but the Lord said, that's a start. You know what? If we'll take a step, like Peter did, we'll step out of the boat. If we'll take a step, if we'll get out there and trust God, believe him with all our heart, love never fails. We can't be beat. We can't make a wrong. You know what? God even makes our mistakes to prosper. We're going to always be in the right place at the right time. We're going to see good fruit. We're going to see people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ that we thought there ain't no way. But we got to be willing and obedient to share the love of God and to walk in love. And when those things want to come up out of our mouth, we're like, mm-mm, I ain't going there. We're going to see people born again. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son that you might not perish but have everlasting life. He said that if we'd believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, that we'd be saved. Listen, if you don't know Jesus today, if you've never made him the Lord of your life, God knew you. Each one of us before he formed you in your mother's womb. He has a destiny for you that's like no other. It's super abundantly above all that you or I can ask or think. God wants us each one to walk in that destiny, to fulfill that dream. He wants to put desires in our heart and then give us those desires so that we can walk out a life that is so amazing that we can't even describe it. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, we'd like to give you that opportunity today. We don't ever close the service here without giving you the opportunity to make Jesus your Lord. Because there's a heaven, there's a hell. And the definition is heaven, we're going to spend eternity with our Heavenly Father, Father God. And hell, we're going to spend eternity separated from Him. And we don't know, God desires no man perish, but all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we're all going to pray a prayer in case there's anyone here today that you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. And we're asking you to pray that prayer with us. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. And let Him fulfill the destiny that He created for you. So all together, let's all pray this prayer. Father God, thank You today for sending Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, for knowing me before You formed me in my mother's womb. I want to fulfill that destiny. I yield myself to You. I ask You, Jesus, to come into my heart, be the Lord of my life, forgive me of all my sins, and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I now repent. I turn from that which was not of You to that which is of You. And I receive You as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if today was the day you made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand, acknowledge it. We won't give you a Bible. We won't embarrass you. Ready? One, two, three. Over here. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, y'all look up. Praise God. We have two salvations today. We have almost... It's not every Sunday, but almost every Sunday, people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and make Jesus their Lord and Savior. Ain't that good? I mean, that's just praise God. God, this Corey's heart, he's an evangelist. Me and him grew up under Glenn Smith, another evangelist. And Corey's, he's almost a spitting image of Glenn, ain't he, Howdy? I mean, when we think about a lot of things, I mean, there's so much for his limbs that's there. But thank today for salvations. Because that's what this Jesus desires, no man perish, but we all fulfill the destiny He called us to. And knowing Jesus as the Lord of our life is everything. So I thank y'all for putting up with me today. I thank you for AJ and Cleve being here. And I'm going to give it to Howdy.